Good morning. Today is Thursday, 5th of January. Day in the life of the week of Billy Hansel. Good morning.
Right. Good morning, Brian. Man, has it been only 5 days into this new year?
No kidding.
Crazy.
5 months. Hey, have you been sworn at yet?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, last week I got sworn in.
They did that just as a little private thing?
Yeah, we just kind of threw
down
it together.
Down in the corner?
Yeah, we kind of threw it together because it, obviously the earthquake disrupted the normal swearing in for us.
You were kind of occupied?
I was.
You know, I noticed with the picture there where everybody was lined up.
Yeah.
They didn't even hold a spot for you.
They didn't.
I thought, you know, well, you're supposed to go swinging in from the third floor there and just kind of make your appearance.
I wasn't missed. They're going, thank God that guy didn't
show
up.
Yeah.
There was an earthquake.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Are you ready for, let's see, what do we, okay. Why is the drink called Tom and Jerry? New Year's has passed, however.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm not sure. What's the reference to the cartoon? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Though every distinctive beverage has its own name, only a few bear the names of people. A blend of spiced and sweetened rum beaten with eggs, milk, and spices is in a class all by itself. Tom and Jerry were fictional characters in the novel Life in London, published in 1821. A book about the nightlife in London, author Pierce Egan, wrote of the exploits of Corinthian Tom and Jerry Hawthorne, Esquire. Enormous popularity of Egan's book caused the popular drink to be quaffed in honor of Tom and Jerry. This tavern ritual took place so often that the names of Egan's fictional men about town attached to the beverage.
Nice.
And I'm sure that there was a connection to the cartoon.
Oh, I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was, for sure.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Winston, you want to get me a rag? The beat just goes on and on and on and frickin' on. Oh.
Yeah.
At least I'm not close to a control board.
That's right.
Or electronics.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. So how's your week gone?
Well, you know what? It's getting better every day. You know what? We got through the windstorm yesterday, and we're just ready for this more rain to come in this weekend, and, you know, we'll still get probably some minor flooding in our streams and creeks and coastal areas, but you know what? We're all hanging in there. We're all hanging in there for sure.
Winds are pretty much come and gone for at least our part of the state?
Yeah, it's supposed to, the advisory is supposed to be lifted as of 10 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, but it's still pretty calm out there now.
Yeah, it's supposed to be still 10 to 25 mile an hour winds in certain spots over the next couple of days.
Well, we can handle that.
Yes, which is not going to be any huge deal, but
no, unless there are widowmakers up there.
There's still, the ground is saturated, and so we're still going to see some movement, I would say, in the next couple of days with some trees maybe coming down.
Yeah, but that's normal winter stuff.
I agree with you, and I feel like, you know, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, we had these type of winters, but the, you know, social media and the prevalence of information being shared, obviously we know more about what's going on because you just have to wait for the newspaper the next day or, you know, the 6 o'clock news to figure out what was actually happening out there for the general public. But right now, when a tree goes down on 101, it shuts down on 101, it gets blasted on social media, and everyone takes a picture of their tree down, debris in the roadway.
It makes it look like a cataclysmic event.
It does.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of it is being driven simply by people who weren't here. So the last 5 years, kind of like what we think about with our flood cycles and earthquakes, well, if we weren't here, it didn't happen. So, boy, look at all the stuff that's going on now.
Right.
Well, if you step back and look a little bit before you were here, you'd see that all this stuff was kind of halfway in normal pattern.
Yes.
I suspect that's, we haven't had the floods.
Right.
You know, or, yeah, there's a lot about Bill Cosby, obviously, a lot of us don't feel comfortable with.
Right.
But he had a great line, one of his early comedic records. He's talking about a Volkswagen. He had a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
It was caught going like 75 or 80 by a cop. And the cop said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Blowing the gunk out."
Yes.
And that's what I think of when I think of these river channels.
Yeah.
And the creek beds and these things that have got the alders growing up and the big gravel bars all over the place that used to shift annually. Okay, we have a flood, we blow the gunk out.
This is very healthy, right? It's very, very healthy for our streams to get blown out. And also, it's healthy for the salmon population, steelhead population.
Yeah, they get pools.
You know what? I think it's obviously it's good. This is what Mother Nature does to help purge those streams and everything. And
dam, so, what dam?
Yeah, blow out the dams. So it's you know, this is a winter storm. Obviously, we want people to be prepared because we will continue to have power outages. We will continue to have items that trees and that kind of stuff will be littered throughout the roadway. So we
wasn't
want
it interesting how much came down just south of the, I guess, the Big Lagoon land bridge or whatever.
Yes.
What is that thing called? I know in the old days it was a bridge. You see the old pictures and it had the trestle and everything.
I don't know.
But just, north of the exit there, it looked like everything just kind of decided it was going to fall over.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure what, how the wind channels were directed through there and really wreaked some havoc on the trees there.
Did you guys help out there?
You know, we didn't. We tried to avoid the fallen trees.
Yes, anything with chainsaw and sharp tools, you're away from?
We just say, hey, CHP Caltrans, do your thing. So we step back and we find alternate routes around these trees.
Oh, and what would that have been?
Well,
the ocean?
We're looking at 96 to Bald Hills Road, or maybe all the way up into into Oregon.
The 5-hour diversion to avoid a chainsaw and a little bit of help.
Yeah.
What a neighbor.
Yeah. We do have chainsaws. Last year we had our several of our deputies and special services, search and rescue guys went up to the winter storm in Willow Creek and they were cutting up, trees and that kind of stuff to
make
sure. So you
do have chainsaws.
We do. We have chainsaws and so we're out there doing our thing.
Just
on the county roadways and that kind of stuff. We don't want to interfere with the state highway. They want to take care of those. So
I didn't know you could dance that fast.
Oh, I'm pretty good. Not coordinated, but I can dance.
Yeah, you could fall like a tree, huh?
For sure. Yes.
Well, I was surprised that there wasn't more damage in some of the other areas, though, or down material.
There was. Southern Humboldt got hit hard, and we just received a report that Shelter Cove is now isolated from trees falling in the White Thorn Briceland area.
So we'll talk about your chainsaws in the southern part of the county when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel, sheriff again. Did you get a 4-year or a 6-year?
This is the 6-year.
You got a 6-year also.
I got a 6-year, yeah. And the new DA, Stacy, got 6 years, thanks to the legislation and the governor signing that in the law. So
you just didn't want to run for office again.
Well, that's...
That's your political pull.
2028, I said, hey, governor, yo, come on, 6 years, let's do this.
Who knows? Who knows who or what will be like then, huh?
2028. Are you kidding me? Who could predict?
6 years. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much will be recognizable from today. I mean, think about it. Go back
That's
6.
True. Yeah.
What was going on then versus where we are now?
A lot has happened over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all happened
in
on
the last
my watch.
Week and a half. Yeah. So how would you grade out the county for the last 2.5 weeks?
We're doing fairly well. The earthquake.
No, it's not satisfactory and unsatisfactory.
No.
That lasted 1 year in elementary
really?
School. That doesn't cut, no.
Either you can't say fair, poor, good. What do you want to say?
How about a 10-point scale?
A 10-point scale. As a county, we're at probably overall about a 5, I would say. 5 or 6 is where I would put us. And right there in the middle, we have certain parts of the county that are definitely still struggling. Riodale, Eel River Valley, obviously got hit the most on the earthquake damage.
Fortuna came back pretty strong, though.
Pretty strong. They have 3 or 4 red-tagged homes and businesses, and they have a, you know, they had a lot of people that just fixed their damage right away, a lot of broken windows, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but we're just a couple things is we want to urge people to report their damage. It all is used in a system for the state to in this emergency to try and release more funds for our county and more effort, relief effort, and that kind of stuff. So we encourage people to go to our website and humboldtsheriff.org. And log your
expect
damage.
Your phone call in about 2 weeks. So I'll let you know.
Yes,
you can do whatever.
Exactly.
Well, and how do you know what it was? I mean, there are some things that are directly related,
right?
And then there are some things that are indirectly. Let's say, for example, now is it earthquake specific or is it earthquake and the rain and the wind from yesterday?
Yeah, no, it's earthquake specific. So the
The
rain and the wind, that's another separate event, and we're probably going to likely declare another emergency for that.
Have another report?
Yes, because the accumulation of damage, you know, the storm damage through you know, washed out roadways and infrastructure and the damage to, you know, businesses and homes, that kind of stuff. I mean, it could rise to the level of declaring a local emergency for that. And then again, it releases the Office of Emergency Services and the statewide to come in and to assist with assisting government and infrastructure with being rebuilt, that kind of stuff.
So the private folks, we report.
Yes.
Government folks get the benefit.
Pretty much.
Okay.
It's pretty much what it is. So we're not people were wondering from the very beginning of the earthquake, were we going to get a FEMA declaration? Were we going to get a federal declaration? And a federal declaration comes with a lot more money for residents to rebuild. And
so when it kind of crosses that.
That's
bridge.
When it becomes huge. I mean, the equivalent, you know, there's like a threshold. I forget the dollar amount, but it's equivalent to about 1,200 homes being destroyed is essentially what it is. In order for us to get a FEMA declaration. So right now we have about 70 structures that are red tagged, you know, so that was just unoccupiable right now. And so we're nowhere near that threshold. So we're not going to get that FEMA declaration. And so it's...
It would be about $600 million worth of damage. That's a ton of damage.
It's a ton of damage, right. Yeah. And so, you know, people often say, well, yeah, you know, if this earthquake happened in L.A., they would have 1,200 homes damaged. Oh. And then...
And the houses would be worth more.
Yes. And they would get the FEMA declaration like that. But since it happened in our small county, we're not going to get that. Well, and that is
true. They
say
where?
That is true. Yeah. Where? It's, can we wish this on someone? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
If yesterday is declared, we had somebody here who got rear-ended. Okay, now you could say it was hydroplaning. You could say that they were texting and driving. It was a hit and run, so nobody really knows for sure. Would that type of thing, you know, somebody having an automobile accident or collision from hydroplaning, does that count? I mean, it's not really specific to that storm, but it's specific to rain.
So the first thing they look at as far as reimbursement goes is, was the person insured? And so,
or for tracking for your purposes.
Oh, tracking for our purposes?
Yeah.
I would say probably not. You know, a traffic accident as a result of hydroplaning, not so much. A tree down, I would say yes. I would say that would be.
Hydroplaning with wind.
Hydroplaning with wind.
I mean, well,
yeah.
You probably had it coming into work yesterday.
Yeah, it was pretty windy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You hit a... I guess it's not a mud puddle, huh? It's an asphalt puddle.
Yes. You hit standing water.
You could be moved, and if you went into the other lane and smacked somebody.
You know, you bring up a point, and we would just encourage people to report it, whether or not,
You guys sift it out?
We'll sift it out, for sure. But, you know, one of the things that happened yesterday was the county was declared, the Small Business Administration did authorize the use of SBA loans for our county. So it releases federal money to help people rebuild both businesses and residences, low interest loans. So that system is going to be set up. So businesses can go down and apply for that. And I can talk about that when we get back from a break.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel, sheriff for six.
Yes.
Yeah, you hot dog.
Six more years.
No, that's what I'm supposed to say. Six more years.
Oh, I know. My wife is saying six more years, really?
You'll be adopting my haircut.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
You mentioned Shelter Cove's isolated right now.
Yes.
Because of some of the downed. Debris and
yep.
slides, or just trees and stuff that chainsaws will take care of?
Trees are down. Trees are down. Power lines are down. And,
yeah, I saw one out in the bottoms. It was weird last night driving, and all of a sudden you see the power lines go down, and you know it's kind of not in your view shed.
Right.
But all of a sudden something's in the wrong spot.
Right.
And you look, and then you see it coming back up. It's like it went down into...
Yes.
Yeah, and you look at the outage map, and there's a big... You know,
right there.
A couple of farms.
Yep.
So obviously it's well known for people. But
right.
How many acts of stupidity did you find?
Well,
were there many?
We didn't have really many reported yesterday, or at least it didn't make it up to my level. On days like yesterday, we just encourage people, obviously, to be cautious when they're driving and just really slow down. It just blows me away still when people are just going still 75, 80 on the freeway in certain areas. And so people just really need to watch out.
You like the safety corridor?
Yes, safety corridor, no matter what. It's just like, you know what? But old Arcata Road and some of those back roads where you go around a corner and a tree could be down like that. So just please slow down. Take the extra 15, 5 minutes, whatever it is, to just drive slow. And leave early to make sure that you're not rushed.
Well, if you're going slow, you don't get up. You know, the rig doesn't get up quite so high, so you have a lower profile when the wind blows.
Yeah,
a little bit less.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had guys suggesting I throw some cement bags in the back of the truck.
Okay.
I said, no, what's in the cab is weighty enough.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Thanks for your concern.
Yes, for sure. But yeah, so right now things are looking good. Caltrans County Roads have done a good job in keeping the roadways open. As of right now, all the major thoroughfares are open: 299, 36, 101. So we're
and snow level
lucky.
Isn't going to be a factor.
It's not a factor. So going east,
of course, once you hit I-5, got this liquid stuff that is a bit of a factor.
Yeah, and so there's still plenty of snow up in the Sierras. It's going to happen the next couple of days, as well as Mount Shasta and Siskiyou County and I-5. So they're going to get some.
Are you
going to
petition
snows.
To have the state formally declare that the drought is over?
We're going to see. You know, we got to get those reservoirs full. But yeah, we're. You know, it would be great to see Mount Shasta full. I think that would be the biggest indicator of the drought being over.
Well, and Shasta Lake, too.
Yeah, Shasta Lake. Sorry. Shasta Lake. That's what I meant.
You just keep giving your dad all this fodder.
I know. Shoot, he's going to get me on that one. So, yeah, Shasta Lake and all the reservoirs, Trinity, seeing those reservoirs full would be outstanding. And so, knock on wood, hopefully that happens.
Yeah, It's intriguing for me because the southern part of the state, that would be Sonoma County South.
Yeah.
They're getting all this rainfall, and you know that they're not capturing it.
Right. I know. A lot of runoff, for sure.
Opportunity, guys, and you blew it again.
Yeah. And, you know, we had that legislation that passed, what, you know, that proposition that talked about redoing reservoirs and water storage. And I don't think the state has actually built any new water storage.
No, we got other infrastructure.
Yeah.
That we're focusing on.
Was that the bullet train? What are we doing with that?
No, I was thinking more plug-ins.
Mm. Okay.
But I was trying to be semi-nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for drawing me out, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
you know, one thing we're doing today is we're launching a, regarding the disaster, our 441-5000 number. So we use that during the pandemic for public information. But right now what we're finding is there's been a lot of displaced residents from the Eel River Valley and other places, including Rio Del, that have gone to, you know, live in, you know, friend's house, gone to a hotel, or staying in a trailer somewhere. And we need to capture those people that need assistance. And so we're opening up this number from, you know, to the public to receive information from people that need assistance from, you know, sheltering, whatever their needs are. So we're asking the people that have been displaced to call 441-5000 starting at 10 a.m. this morning. And we can, you know, provide them with avenues for assistance through general relief, through, you know, finding placement for a new home. Some of these people have been renters and now they're displaced renters. There's no place to rent in Rio Del. Maybe we can find a place in Eureka or Arcata or somewhere else. So we're going to try and do our best to try and get people rehoused as quick as possible. There is some funding that we can utilize to help people. But we have to have people go through this process in order to understand how we can help them the best. And we're going to prioritize the people that need it the most.
This is not welfare-based?
This is not welfare-based. So this is, you know, there are, you know, there's general relief through DHHS we can tap into, but there's also other funding sources. But what we need to do is really have people reach out to us and basically explain what their needs are. Because we're not getting the amount of information. We have 70 people that have been displaced in Rio Del and Eel River Valley, and you know we've received information, you know, from several people that they still need housing and that kind of stuff. So we're working through that. We want to help people as much as possible.
Well, if you're kind of on your, if you're independent and this is something that you kind of have experienced in the past, you're just doing what you need to do to take care of it.
Absolutely. And you know, Humboldt County is very resilient with our people, and we don't necessarily want help, but there's also sometimes people that don't know how to receive help when they really do. They have families, that kind of thing. So we just want to make sure that people are aware that there is help out there and we can provide that help. If you need it, please contact us.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Again, that phone number, if you are displaced or needing some assistance, I guess would be the easiest way.
Correct. So, 441-5000. It'll be set up as of 10 a.m. this morning, and it'll run the next couple weeks. And so we want people to call that number and to essentially get signed up for assistance. And
now, one of the things that has been a challenge for the entire community is getting the blue-collar, hands-on, vocational guys, you know, the contractors and plumbers and every in the area to be able to handle the demand that previously existed.
True.
Okay, so now you've got, you said, 70 homes. Okay, now if we have a shortage already.
Right.
And those that are doing other things, it's great you got a number, but if there's nobody there that can help it.
That's right.
How does that one play?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to register some contractors, legit contractors, in the city of Rio Del to help stabilize houses, to help actually shore up some houses and actually put houses back on foundation. Some of these houses are just slipped, and so they can't be occupied, but really it's an easy fix.
said from the sheriff.
Just lift it up, guys, put it on the...
Yeah.
Exactly. How hard is that?
Yeah.
You know, but there are experts that actually can do this, and they actually can do a very good job, and within a couple of days, kind of shore up a house and stabilize the foundation so at least people can get back into their houses, and then they can finish up.
You start doing the do.
Absolutely. So that's what we really want to do. And what we don't want is to have people get scammed at this point in time, because we have a lot of people that can be scammed in their desperate situation. And so we don't want that to happen. If anyone asks for cash up front.
A counselor or an advisor or something like that in the city that they can use? I don't know if it would be through your guys with OES or not, but some kind of like a clearinghouse for that stuff?
Yeah, so the city of Riedel is actually working on that right now because they're the ones that have the biggest need. And so we have, so please contact their city hall. They'll have some vetted people that can be referred if you need that done right now. And so they actually have contractors on site, I believe this week, that are looking at the some of the houses, and they're trying to streamline the process. And even, you know, even contractors are donating their time to bring their crews in to shore up some of these houses to get people back in their homes.
Which is kind of amazing when you think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could make probably, well, if it's government funding, prevailing wage.
Could be.
And they're donating.
Yes.
I mean, that's huge.
It is pretty amazing. And, you know, the permit process is crazy, right? Normal permit process. But have something get streamlined quickly and be able to get people back in their homes is really what we need to do right now as far as government. Come together, streamline this process, and so we can actually get people back in their homes.
Well, maybe that part doesn't get undone.
I would be all in favor of that, right?
Is there any damage in the county?
There is damage in the county. There's
good, so we can take the same principle and apply it?
Believe me,
Well, you sucked into that one so fast.
I would love to, but yeah. I'm not in charge of that. So
no, but you know who is.
Yeah. So we made suggestions in the past. I mean, I think we should stimulate growth by doing, some faster permitting.
Particularly with repair work.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you would think. So what are you looking at now for the next little bit? Just getting everything normalized again?
The biggest thing are just identifying the people that are unhoused right now, that are homeless, figuring out where we can have temporary shelter for these people, temporary living arrangements.
Now, it used to be the fairgrounds.
Anymore? So people aren't going to the emergency evacuation shelter. And so we had essentially, I think we had 20 people in there at one time just after the earthquake. But this is 15 days since the earthquake now, 16 days. And that number is greatly diminished. I think there's only one or two in the shelter now, and the shelter's been moved to Riedel, and I think they're even going to shut down. So Red Cross is running that. They're doing a fabulous job. But people don't want to have, congregate living, but that's what it's for. You know, in an emergency, congregate living, they take care of the basic needs. But people have animals, people have children, all those things that have the responsibilities that they don't want congregate living. Right. And so we have avenues to try and find some temporary housing, but we just need to get that data.
If folks want to donate funds, where is it? Red Cross? Do you guys have? Will that be part of this setup at 10?
Red Cross. Red Cross would be the biggest one right now. They're the ones that are doing some sheltering for us.
Avoid those mud puddles.
Yes, for sure.
I think you stepped into three or four of them this morning. Watch yourself. See everybody tomorrow.